Before we get started, I'd like to recognize several people that have contributed to this. We have several breeders involved in this effort. Fred Borland from University of Arkansas, Jane Deaver, Texas A&M up at Lubbock, Don Day from University of Georgia, Dan Frommy, agronomist from Corpus, now at LSU, and then Ed Barnes and Don Jones from Cotton Incorporated. So it's been a joint effort from the breeding, the agronomy, and also the ginning side of things. And I'm going to kind of use a few terms interchangeably, so I don't want to confuse people any. But basically, I'll refer to things as leaf hairiness sometimes, and sometimes as trichome density. And trichomes are just those hairs that are on the cotton leaf. So this would be a more smooth type leaf, and this would be a more hairy type leaf. So there are numerous factors that we know contribute to leaf hairiness, and there are still a lot of things we don't know. And the project initially started back in 2010 with some of the ginners and producers from Texas trying to find out what the cause of our increase in leaf grade was. And Mr. Ropolo and many others from Texas were involved in some of those initial discussions, and Sid Brew. So anyway, we conducted quite a bit of research for 3 years looking at what the impact was. But we know that it's very important, as was mentioned by the moderator, that increased demand for high fiber quality, we need to really focus on things that are causing discounts to our producers. And we also know, and you guys know, it affects everything from the chain, from the producers, all the way through the ginners, and all the way down to the mills. There's been quite a bit of research documenting inconsistencies in leaf hairiness ratings from various companies, whether it's Delta Pine or Bayer or Phytogen or some of the other companies. There's been very little standard there, and that's been documented by way back in the late 90s by John Norman down in the Rio Grande Valley, as we're associated with insects and leaf hairiness. Fred Borland from University of Arkansas has done quite a bit, and then recently Zach Eater was a grad student of mine, and then Cliff Boykin at USDA ARS has done some work. And I'm going to show a little bit of that background information, and then we'll kind of get into where the leaf hairiness index is. This is some data from the leaf grade data from Corpus Christi, classing office 2000 through 2013. And this is basically showing the number of leaf grade increase of number fours, kind of in this circle, and number fives here in this circle. And this is kind of when Sid and Mr. Ropolo came to us saying, you know, we need to figure out what's going on here because it looks like we're on a steady increase. So that's kind of when we initiated some of this initial research. We also did some small plot trials, defoliation trials, and desiccation research, because that was one of the speculations. You know, we're not defoliating as well, or more of those desiccating type products were being used, sticking those leaves on the plant, and that's causing the incorporation into, causing the increase in leaf grades. And this is just a picture, I'm not gonna spend a lot of time, of our defoliation trial where we had basically, you know, 95%+ defoliation. And over here we had a high rate of gramoxone applied, but we had nearly every leaf stuck on that plant. So we had a good spectrum associated with defoliation and desiccation. And this was one of our first trials, and this kind of, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this either, but on the left side is the leaf grade, and then down here is the percent defoliation on the horizontal axis. And kind of the take-home message here is, you know, defoliation didn't have a really big impact on cotton leaf grades. So the other thing we notice, this is a smooth leaf here variety, and this is a hairy leaf variety here at this line. But we did notice that the hairiness of a variety had much more impact than the defoliation did. So we started focusing more of our efforts on some of the varietal differences. We also had a module trials. We had one in El Campo working with Mr. Ropolo and Mike Watts, where we literally planted large plot replicated trials with a smooth versus a hairy variety, and it was commercially planted, commercially harvested, and then it was run through Mr. Ropolo's gin to determine the difference in those smooth versus hairy leaf variety. And I guess the take-home message here, I don't know, somehow I missed the slide, but basically there was a 1.2 leaf grade difference between a smooth versus a hairy leaf variety through these large plot module trials. This is some work out of that Cliff Boykin did at the USDA ARS along with Darren Dodds and some of the large plot variety trials they were doing. And down here we have the leaf trichome density, again, or leaf hairiness, versus the leaf grade. And this is data out, again, Mississippi, and you can see a very strong correlation between leaf hairiness and leaf grade. And we've basically observed the exact same thing or very similar things in Texas. This is some of Zach Eater's work. We were looking at different varieties and their impact on hairiness. And again, more or less the hairier varieties obviously had a higher leaf grade value, although not always significantly different. But our smooth varieties were 1 to 2 grades lower than our more hairy varieties. So kind of this leads into what we were focusing on. Is a lot of these company ratings weren't exactly matching up with the leaf trichome numbers in this column. In many cases, we had semi-smooth varieties that were hairier than varieties labeled as hairy varieties. And actually, after we initiated this work, Delta Pine actually changed their rating from a smooth to a semi-smooth for this Delta Pine 1044. So, you know, maybe some things were accomplished even at that minute scale. Again, this is a slide, I put it in the wrong place, but those module trials, basically a 1.2 leaf grade difference between a light hairy versus a smooth variety. So kind of in summary, for the 3 years of research we did on those varieties, increased leaf hairiness was more highly correlated to leaf grade value than any other characteristic we looked at. We looked at brack size, brack hairiness, and several different things associated with those varieties, but leaf hairiness was the most strongly correlated to leaf grade. The other thing we noticed is the rankings based on trichome densities were fairly similar across locations. And that kind of leads into what our justification for doing some of the research we did in 2013. And then the inconsistencies I just pointed out in some of the company ratings. So we wanted to try to develop this industry-wide standard for leaf hairiness. So in 2013, actually at the Beltwide last year, we visited with a lot of different people to try to see if there was enough support to try to get this industry-wide standard going on. I think maybe Ed Barnes, you visited with some of the Jenners here probably at this meeting, and kind of got their feedback. We visited with the breeders, entomologists, the agronomists, and all of them were unanimously supportive of having a more objective rating for leaf hairiness. So then we followed up meetings with all the major seed companies, Phytogen, Bayer Crop Science, and Monsanto, and included them in on this discussion. And they were by far in support of some sort of objective standard system, which was good, but there was always this assumption. They need to be producer-friendly rating system, which, you know, we obviously have to do. There needs to be robustness across locations and fair to all. And basically their point being none of these companies wanted to be losers in this new rating system, and that's understandable. So we were basically, for 2013 objectives, we wanted to quantify the level of trichome density variability across locations, use a hairy standard to account for known G by E or genotype by environment interactions for trichome densities. And basically with the point being there, we know that trichome density can change as much as 2 or 3 or 4 fold on the same variety from one location to the other. But if we could have a standard in there, a standard hairy variety, it theoretically should change, go higher at those same locations. So we could develop a normalized system for doing those ratings for each location. And theoretically, we wouldn't have to have but one or maybe two sites to develop those company ratings, or variety ratings, and develop the relative system based on that hairy variety. So at each location, we had 4 locations, one in Georgia, one in Arkansas, one in South Texas in Matagorda County, and one in Lubbock. And at each of those locations, we had Stoneville 5288, which is a very hairy variety, and that was going to be our hairy variety at each location that we would normalize all the data to. These are our cooperators here, Dan Frommey, Jane Deaver, Fred Borland, and Don Day. And across all those locations and all these entries, there were usually 35-plus entries at each location. Only 8 varieties were in common at each location, so that was kind of the focus, were those 8 varieties to see if we could compare those across locations. So I'll take a lay this out here. These are the varieties on the bottom here, Stoneville 5288. These are mainly B2RF varieties all the way through HQ210. And these are the locations, South Texas, being Matagorda County, Arkansas, Lubbock, and then Georgia. This line here is the mean trichome density or hairiness density for each of those locations. So we can see in South Texas, our mean trichome density was actually, you know, about 50 lower than, or 40 lower than the other locations. The other 3 locations, the at least mean trichome density was similar. The problem we ran into, again, this Stoneville 5288 was going to be our standard hairiest variety. And that held true for South Texas and Arkansas. The problem was when we got to these other locations, that was no longer our Harris variety. So that came to that genotype by variety interaction that we were hoping to avoid by putting a hairy variety in there. So we can, other things we can see is some of these varieties are much more variable than others, like in particular, like Phytogen 499 is labeled a semi-smooth variety, I think, as is this next gen 1511. But in many cases, it's as hairy, especially over here in Georgia and Lubbock, as hairy or hairier than a Stoneville 5288, which is labeled a hairy variety. So this is the trichome densities. Again, you can see some of the differences at locations, which is unfortunate. What we were hoping to happen is that the rankings, even though the trichome density changed, the rankings would remain the same at each location. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. So we tried to normalize it using our hairy variety, Stoneville 5288, that we had at all 4 locations. And it worked fairly well for South Texas and Arkansas, but it was blown apart by Lubbock and Georgia, again, due to that genotype by variety or genotype by environment interaction. Now, so in the other thing that we did, Fred Borland and I included this a Pylos variety, which is like an ultimate hairy variety or genotype that's out there. And we normalized it, and it should be on a scale of 10, but that variety is so hairy, it condensed all of these down to a scale of 3.5 to 4. Unfortunately, we only had it at these 2 locations because we were afraid that it would be so hairy that it would condense the scale. But anyway, looking at this very hairy variety, it did provide some level of ranking at South Texas and Arkansas. But again, we can see some of our varieties, like specifically Phytogen 499, it would go from a ranking of 1 to 3.5 or so. And the company Phytogen was actually majorly concerned about this anyway, knowing that that variety did have a lot of variability in its hairiness. So again, there's some potential here, but we're going to reevaluate what we're going to do, and we're going to try to meet here at this meeting, Ed Barnes and Don Jones and the other cooperators, to try to figure out how we're going to move forward with this from this point forward. So the data didn't turn out near as cleanly as we had hoped it would in developing this rating system. So where are we going from here? Continue to work and develop on an industry-wide leaf hairiness system. We're going to find a variety that has the hairiness somewhere between that Stoneville 5288 and that Pylos. So it's always hairier than any varieties theoretically that would be commercially available. If we can do that, theoretically, we can at least put some sort of scale system on it. We may have a challenge like with varieties like 499 that's out there where we just have to put it a scale of 1 to 3 on hairiness. And some varieties may be a 4 to 5 and others may be a 0 to 1 or 1 to 2. But at least it would be consistent across companies and across varieties. And that would give some level of, you know, producers' understanding of what they're getting into, but also you guys as ginners knowing what's going into your gin. And then implement this industry-wide standard rating system with the seed companies. Say we had hoped to be a little bit further, but our data didn't turn out as clean as we had hoped. But I think the companies will remain behind this because they know how important it is. There's some indication that hairy varieties have some benefits related to flea hoppers and other things. So from a producer's perspective, they would like to know how hairy a variety is for other reasons in addition to leaf grade issues. So with that, I'd like to thank a few people that were involved in this from the very get-go. Also appreciate Cotton Incorporated and the Cotton Foundation for their funding and people we worked on the project previously, like Mr. Ropolo and many others, to get some of this data collected and quantified. So thank you.
Any questions for Galen? Galen, one question, and
yes,
you may have answered, but I didn't catch it. The rankings on trichome density across locations, can you explain that?
Yeah, I can't explain why it happens, but we have, one given variety, it can literally be a fourfold difference, one variety from one location to another location. And for example, in Williamson County for Zach Eater's project, I can't remember the exact variety, but it went from 150 or 180 trichomes to over 600 at that one location.
Same variety.
Same variety. So, you know, there is that factor that plays in there. The hoping is, at least if we can get a variety that's hairier and normalize it, the rankings will always come out somewhat similar. Yes, sir.
You always sampling the leaf at the same stage of development?
We are, yes. So at the locations, I didn't mention it, but Fred Borland's crew counted the trichomes for Georgia and Arkansas, and then my group counted the trichomes from Lubbock and Matagorda County. Basically, at cutout, we're taking the first fully expanded leaf down the plant, so about five nodes down, about, and following the same methods that Fred Borland has used to quantify trichome densities in the past. And it's interesting, Fred Borland's been doing this for a lot of the varieties for numerous years. Different people put, different companies put different weights on those ratings that he uses. But some of that information is currently out there. We're just trying to get it more objective and get it adopted by the seed industry primarily. So.
Any other questions? Appreciate it, Galen.
Thank you.
Very interesting. Got one more?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, did you find a correlation between moisture levels and leaf in the sample?
Moisture levels of the plant or moisture levels?
Of the seed cotton.
Well, I think that's where we're headed on leaf grade as a whole, and probably working with many of you guys, is this the hairiness issue. It only was associated with like 25%. It wasn't highly correlated with leaf grade values. It was the most highly of everything we looked at, but environmental factors trump leaf hairiness by far. And I don't know, you guys probably know more about what those environmental factors are than I do. But the hairiness predisposes it to higher leaf grade. And then you add the adverse environment, and I think it just exaggerates the leaf grade potential of those hairy varieties. Yes, these samples were ginned at the microgen in Lubbock.
That would be key, doing the same conditions.
And Mr. Ropolo did the ones from those commercial trials, you know, one behind the other. So it should have been very similar. And we had some stripper cotton that we did the same thing over in Granger's, and the results were very comparable to the picker variety, or the picked cotton.
All right, appreciate it.